Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from Giants training camp at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, and sitting right next to us right now, we are welcomed by Giants head coach Pat Shurmur. Coach, good morning. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Good, Gio. Boomer.
So we're going to start a little bit unconventionally. We brought you a gift, okay?
Oh,
so you're the first guest we've ever given a gift to.
Oh, boy. Right?
So here you go. This is from last year. It's a picture of you and Mike Francesa. So you can put this in your office, and Mike is mid-swig of a Diet Coke, and you're given an answer. So I know you enjoy your time with him, and you're going to be joining him again this year, so I figured that was a nice thing for your office, maybe.
Well, I will display this prominently.
Yes, so. I consider that an olive branch from WFAN, okay?
They stink!
You may hear some cuts in the background. We are not responsible for that. It's Eddie Scazzeri's about 3 miles away in downtown New York doing that. All right, so here you go. Year two, and a lot of changes around here, and I'm sure you're sick and tired of talking about all the changes, but we have to ask you, and that is, you know, all the emotion surrounding the decision to move Odell Beckham Jr. onto Cleveland. How difficult was that?
Yeah, I think the emotion was obviously outside the building, and anytime you move a player that's been here for so long, you know, being a Giant is going to be part of his story, and so, you know, there was a lot to talk about there. I think we've said it all along, and we really believe it. We wish that, and we hope the best for him, and that he can go to Cleveland and play well and help his team win. You know, we feel like we got good value in the trade. You know, we needed a lot. This team needed a lot, and you know, we took over a 3-13 operation, and you know, we were able to get some other players that are going to help us. You know, we had 4 games last year where we couldn't quite get it done at the end, you know, a couple field goals, a couple touchdowns. And so, you know, we needed to help bolster the roster. We feel like we did it. And with regard to Odell, you know, we do wish him the best. And, you know, I don't really stay too close to it, but it sounds like he's doing well in Cleveland.
Well, it sounds like he's doing a lot of things in Cleveland.
Yeah, and when's your GQ article coming out? Is that next month?
No,
is that
I'm not quite the fashion victim.
No, I see that. Okay, so one of those players that you bring over is Kevin Zeitler. And Kevin Zeitler is going to be one of your starting guards. And I know that your general manager loves hog mollies.
Sure.
Well, this kid is a hog molly for sure. Right. And he was one of the more important players on Cleveland to help Baker Mayfield be successful his rookie year. How's he fit in?
He's been unbelievable. You know, and part of his charm is how serious he is. He is super serious about his work. And I think it's rubbing off on the other guys. And then you put another pro next to him, Remmers, who I was with in Minnesota. And then Dave was with, obviously, in Carolina. So we got two real pros there on the right side. So at least in my mind, I feel much more settled about the right side of the line this year than I did a year ago at this time. So, and then some of the younger players that we had that played very well for us late in the year were able to develop, you know, are also in there as well with Nate Solder at left tackle. So
when you have a year like last year, how much do you take from it and learn from, and how much of it do you just toss away because everything is fresh this year and you got a lot of changes on the roster?
Well, I think, you know, we feel better about taking from last year because we played a lot better at the end of the season. You know, when and Boomer, you'll attest to this, when you're unsettled up front in the offensive line, nothing works. And it's hard to function on offense, puts undue pressure on your defense. And once we got that 2018 version of our offensive line settled about midway, then we were able to play offense that looked better and able to play defense as well.
You know, I felt like as we talked to head coach Pat Shurmur here of the New York Giants, a lot has been said about the way that you finished the season, how well you played offensively, the amount of points that you scored. And oddly enough, Odell was not on the field for those games. Was there ever a sense that you felt like he should have been on the field at any point in time towards the end of the season?
I don't know about that. Anytime a player can't play, I don't question whether or not, you know, he should be out there. And so he was unable to go, and I felt like the other guys stepped up. And I think that's the way we're going to have to play it this year. You know, I've said it already. It's going to take a village at wideout. They're going to have to all get their production. And I think that's a good thing. You know, we certainly try to use Evan Ingram as a wideout at times. And, you know, so – and it's exciting. You know, I watched that group in training camp. you know, they see 70 or 80 catches out there somewhere, and so they're all battling for that, and I think that's good as well.
You know, today the Golden Tate situation will come to a head. Have you ever been a part of something like this where the arbitrator has ruled in favor of the player?
I've been on the other side of it a couple times. I can't tell you I've been in I've always it's always gone the other way for the player, so we'll have to see. But you know, times have changed. You know, what really happened to Golden Tate was, you know, something that what's been reported is truly accurate based on what I know, and so hopefully it'll go in his favor.
We're talking to Pat Shurmur live from Giants training camp, Boomer and Geo on the Fan CBS Sports Network. So here you go, full blown quarterback controversy, right?
Well, not for us.
No, it I know. Like, I'm kidding, but I mean, you've got, of course, you've got Eli. He's going to be the starter.
Right.
Daniel Jones. You draft a guy number six.
Sure.
You'd think he's going to play at some point soon.
Right.
You're going to answer questions about this every friggin' week. You know this
every day.
Every day. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Twice a day.
And I remember you getting annoyed with some of the Kyle Lauletta questions last year. We played one of the cuts like, "Hey, everybody that wants to see Lauletta, did you see that?" And we were laughing at that. Just from your perspective, how do you deal with this situation without going crazy, having to deal with it in the New York media? Because it is not an easy thing to deal with.
Well, I'm just, you know, it's going to be part of the conversation. It just is. But when I look at it, what's important to me is we have a healthy quarterback room. And Eli's a starter. He's at an off-season. He's at an outstanding training camp. And then you bring in Daniel Jones that when it's his time to play, he'll be ready. This guy is all about his business. He learns every day. He's super talented. And I think he's got a very, very bright future. And so when you talk about two – and they have respect for one another. And I see that every day. The room is healthy. Then you have Tanny and Lauletta who's improving. So we have a room there where – they understand there's going to be a starter, and until you are the starter, you're going to help the starter be as good as they can be. And I think that's the approach they're taking.
In all your years as a coach in the NFL, have you ever been around a situation like this where you have this long-term iconic face of a franchise that won two Super Bowls, and then all of a sudden a high pick comes in, and you have to deal with the surrounding, chaos
right.
from us in the media,
sure.
And then, but you also have to deal with the personalities here of the players as well. Have you ever been around anything like that?
No, this is a little unique for me. But again, because you know that quarterback room, they're all adults in that room, and they understand that we're going to play the very best player. That's going to, you know, the guy that's going to give us a chance to win the game, and everybody understands that. You know, and quarterbacks understand
it. We hate it.
I know you hate it, but you understand it. And you know, going all the way back to junior high, you know, I'm sure Eli learned that the best player is going to play. Now he's been the best player, you know, and so that's just part of it. And you know, it's not anything different. I tell my kid, who's you know the third quarterback in Kansas City right now, you just do everything you can with the reps you get, and then whoever the starter is, you do everything in your power to help him have success.
How has Daniel Jones dealt with some of the stuff surrounding the draft choice? Of course, there was a lot of negative criticism right when it happened.
Sure.
And then he's at Yankee Stadium, and he's hearing some boos, which is ridiculous, by the way. That was very, very stupid.
He's not the only guy that's been booed.
Right, of course. Yeah,
yes.
But, I mean, do you feel like you need to, for a younger player like that, go to him and have these conversations and try to get his mental state where you want it to be? Or do you kind of leave him alone and let him work through it with Eli being his mentor? What's your role in all that?
No, we're right in the middle of all of it, and that's part of why he was picked to be, you know, eventually the quarterback of the New York Football Giants, is because his mindset is such where he can handle that, compartmentalize it, keep it away from his day-to-day stuff and play. And I think that's part of what makes him who he is.
And he knows how to get here without making shortcuts or anything like that. Everything should be fine and should be on time pretty much.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. That's great. So tell me about Dexter Lawrence. He was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes back to the hog molly theory of one Dave Gettleman. This kid is a huge kid, kind of a baby face kid out of Clemson. Tell me what you've seen of him thus far.
Well, he's had a great camp. You know, he's so big and he's so long. And, you know, being long like he is puts pressure on the inside of the pocket. And, you know, I think most quarterbacks will tell you that pressure in your face is more, it's tougher on you than the edge pressure. You expect it and you can step up, but when you get it up the edge and then you try to step up and you can't, then that's very disruptive. And he's been able to do that in these practice settings. Now, you know, whether it's the quarterback or the new defensive lineman or any players, you know, it's going to be an important game Thursday night for them when they get out there the first time.
Talking to Pat Shurmur, what was, not to harp on last year, because I know how football coaches are, you're moving forward, you're thinking sure. forward, but what was the most challenging part of last year for you? Because I remember, you know, we hear you in your press conferences, and sure. I can sort of tell when you're super annoyed and not, and I remember yeah. after, you know, the one game when the Odell interview came out, and you said, you could talk to him, he's a big boy, you could just hear it in your voice. There's sure. a couple of sure. times where you were getting tested, you know?
Right.
What was the toughest part of last year for you?
Well, I think keeping the, you know, just keep the players going. We were going through a rough stretch, obviously, my goodness, and to keep them going and keep them focused and try to keep all that noise outside the building out of here. And I thought they did a great job with that. So, you know, and at any time you're facing that type of adversity, you just make sure you keep everybody on task. And, you know, I think our guys did a good job of that.
Now, are you someone who is constantly talking to the team about keeping the noise out, or do you believe that you tell them once and they have to figure it out on their own, or is it a constant reminder when things are coming at you like they were coming at you last year?
No, I remind them of the issues of the day and just keep reminding them and encouraging them to stay in the moment, worry about your team, stick together, and just keep playing. And I think they did a good job of that.
You know, you made some really tough decisions. You let go Landon Collins. Yeah. He was mm-hmm. upset. You traded Odell Beckham Jr. He was upset.
Sure.
You have the issue with the quarterback. And, you know, Eli, I'm sure, is not happy about it. But, you know, he's got to embrace the challenge and he's got to embrace the competition. So there is a lot that you have to deal with from the outside noise. And I would think most of your players, at least most of the stuff that we've read and we've heard and the interviews that we've heard, they have actually bought into what you're trying to sell now, because this is the Giant way now. It seems like mm-hmm. you got your team mm-hmm. where you want it in terms of personalities.
Well, it is, and it's, as you know, this is the greatest team sport, and, you know, we encourage our guys to be tough, stick together, you know, and then the big focus here has been to finish. You know, I alluded to it earlier, but, you know, we had four games where we lost at the end of the game where you could say we played really good football for three quarters, then you lose. So, you know, when you add those games on to the five that we did win, if we could have just finished better in some situations, then maybe the end of the season, you know, we would have been playing for something, at, you know, in terms of the playoffs. So, you know, I think that's been the focus for us, is to be able to finish out games the right way. We feel like we've added some players that can help us do that, and now we just got to go do it.
You know, I know that a lot of Giant fans are worried about pass rush. Where yeah. is the pass rush coming from? Is it going to yeah. be scheme? Is it going to be individual players? There's nobody that really stands out in the minds, I think, of fans right now. Maybe right. they will three or four games into the season.
Well, you know, again, a year ago, you know, we had OV, and he missed a bunch of games early, you know. And so, but this year, you know, with Lorenzo Carter, he looks great. You know, I think we can get more production out of him than we did a year ago as a rookie. You know, X-Man, you know, everybody's talking about X-Man already. You know, at least what he's displayed here, he's going to have the ability to rush the passer. And then, you know, a guy that nobody's really talking about is Marcus Golden. You know, 2 years ago he had 12 and a half sacks in Arizona. And so, you know, he's done a nice job. And then Kareem Martin. So that's where the edge comes. And then I think Betch has done a good job of putting a pressure package together that's also going to get some of the pressure that we need. But when it comes down to it, at some point in the game, there's a 2 minute drive and you got four men rushing against five, and somebody's got to make a play, and we realize that, but we feel like we've added some guys that can do it.
What about this challenging of the pass interference? New rule, yeah. something you got to make sure you got all your ducks in a row week one. Is it something that you're looking yeah. forward to, or you maybe got a little bit of anxiety about how it's going to go?
Well, it is what it is. It's a new rule, and so we all, as coaches, have embraced it. We've spoken as coaches to a lot about it. We have an internal way of trying to get it right, but it's going to be interesting. You know, I think what everybody talks about, that, you know, how it's going to extend the game. I don't think so, because you only get to, you know, you can only challenge, you know, two of them. I don't think that'll be the case. I think what we're finding from the league is whatever's called, it's kind of like if it was a fumble, you know, or, you know, it was a, let's say it's a pass interference, right? We're finding that they're going to be more likely to leave them than change them. And that's sort of the way, that's sort of the way that really most things have been officiated, even with regard to replay.
They just don't want what happened at the end of the Saint game and the Ram game last year in the NFC Championship game. That was obvious to everybody, and it was a play that should have been overturned.
Right.
Do you strategically?
Well, that's my concern,
right.
You know, is that, you know, one play, and it was an egregious miss, let's agree,
yep.
Is, you know, changing sort of the landscape of things. So that's where the uncertainty comes for I think everybody involved in this process.
And then there's another layer of decision making that you have to deal with as a head coach.
Sure.
And you have to answer those questions,
sure,
after the game. I'm never in favor of these things because I think you guys got enough to deal with as it is, as we've already listed here this morning. But strategically, do you hold on to those things? I mean, like, I don't necessarily know that I'm throwing the flag, like, in the first in the first quarter on a potential overturn of a pass interference when I'm thinking later on in the game this is where it may be more important.
Yeah, and then but you got to factor in the, you know, the score in the game, and there can be game-changing plays early in the game, you know, depending on how long the play is. But I think what we'll probably do early in the game, the ticky-tack little stuff that may not be – where the juice is worth the squeeze kind of deal, I'd be hold back on that a little bit. You know, once you get to 2 minutes, then it's on the officials anyways. So kind of bordering, it seems to me, like bordering on the last few minutes before the two-minute warning, if there's something in there.
Right.
You know, that's maybe where you throw it.
I'm going to make you smile now, okay?
Because okay.
I know, because there's a lot of heavy lifting and a lot of discussions about a lot of different players. But I would think that Saquon Barkley makes you smile.
He sure does.
And that Saquon Barkley is everything that Dave Gettleman said he was going to be prior to the draft. You know, it was the whole discussion, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, where was Saquon Barkley in that whole mix? And I'm telling you, I don't ever really truly remember a general manager being so convinced about how great a player can be as Saquon Barkley turned out in his rookie year. And what do you see this year now from him?
Yeah, and, you know, I believe, Dave, with regard to Saquon, for sure. My goodness, you know, who would have thought, though, that he could do all the things he did as a rookie? The exciting thing for the coach is he's out here in his second year with a rookie mentality. He's just trying to get better. He's trying to, you know, encourage players more. You know, he had that kind of, I called it a generational spirit a year ago that we saw behind the scenes. It just so happens now everybody's starting to see it more, or they're looking for it more and they're seeing it more out of him. But he's had a really outstanding spring and early summer here, and I'm looking forward to see what he can do in year two.
I mean, for all your years in the NFL, have you ever really seen a player as dynamic as him?
He's the most dynamic running back I've been around, for sure.
Do you think head coaches talk too much to the media in the NFL? Do you think your responsibilities are too much to have to speak every day?
Well, it's the rules. Pat does a good job of chopping these things off early. You
mean Pat Hanlon?
Pat Hanlon,
he's
yeah.
He's a little overrated, if you ask me.
No, I can't wait to hear, okay, two more questions. You know?
Say no more. If you could, just for us, just your gift to the camera, so the camera
can see.
If you can hold that up.
This is
just,
this is the gift. It's Mike Francesa and Pat Shurmur from last year's training camp. They have a special relationship together. So
good luck, Coach.
All right, guys.
Really, wish you the best. Hopefully you'll be laughing in about 16, 18
weeks. That would
weeks.
Be great.
All right, good. All right.
Pat Shurmur on The Fan. Thanks, Coach.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.